Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life. And welcome to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Lyle.
So we entered ourselves in the 2012 Inis for the, obviously, the podcast section. And
be kind of odd otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we might have a better chance. Because last time I checked, as of today, we were like one of either 19 or 20 other entries.
Wow.
So
that's a lot.
Yeah, it is. We have a, it could be a D20 die roll. 5% chance of winning, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Boom. No. That was that joke falling flat.
Yeah, well, that joke's not going to win us any. So how do they choose the winner?
Honestly, I read it, but I actually forget at this point. So anything I say will probably be wrong.
What I think they do is they, you list one episode as your must listen episode. And it sounds like the judges then each choose one episode of their own as their own must listen. But I don't understand quite if they go through the entire catalog and choose something or not. So we sent in just what our top three was it?
Yeah. We sent one that was our must listen. Mm-hmm. And then, in the comment section, I said, our other two suggested episodes are these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We said what was our must listen was Hoplites.
Yes, Hoplites.
Yep. And our other two were...
Seduction?
No. Because it had to be... Seduction was out of the running because it was not within the designated time list for the 2000.
So good.
I agree. So our other two were Time for War and Pantheon Pandemonium Olympus.
Hmm.
Kind of thinking we should have said Animals.
Yeah. Animals turned out a lot better than I thought it mm-hmm. would, too. Yeah. That's pretty good.
I'm going to think we're like the war podcast.
I know. I thought
that. Yeah. And actually, we're not going to be changing any minds of this topic today. Today actually is a big topic, so we're going to do a two-parter. So we're going to be talking about apocalypse and post-apocalypse. I think people can now see where we're going to split that. How we're going to split this episode. Yeah, it is pretty big. What we're going to do is we'll do what we did with Time for War. We're going to be focusing on before, during, and after the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, we also have types of apocalypse. So what we'll do first is we'll just kind of list some main types of apocalypse before we get into the kind of the meat of the episode of what kind of games you could play before, during, and after.
Yeah, like certain types, it could be a really, really short during.
Like an asteroid impact, that's pretty quick.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Or like full-on nuclear war. All right, all of 5 minutes. And,
so during. That was you during. Explode. All right, yeah. Done.
All right, so I can't list that?
No, you totally
you're welcome to. We're just going
to laugh. Well, we've got asteroid. Or cataclysmic event. There's also the pandemic, so mm-hmm. I guess that'd be a bit slower. The biblical or the rapture apocalypse. The nuclear apocalypse. And the supernatural.
Yeah.
Something like caused by like some spell such as Greyhawk. If mm-hmm. you look at the history and there was like kind of an apocalypse or a cataclysm.
Yeah, you brought up rifts earlier as well. That was kind of due to magic as well.
Yeah, and that was going to be my other example. It's like you kind of open some portals into other worlds like rifts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought Rifts Chaos Earth.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I don't think you've seen that.
So. I haven't.
Yeah.
Nor do I want to.
That's why I wasn't talking to you.
I approach it with an open mind. In addition, some other ones that I wrote down were an alien invasion, which kind of bridges over into supernatural a little bit, depending on what your aliens are. Cybernetics / AI / technology, a la The Matrix. Climate change, like the day after tomorrow. Resource depletion, like Soylent Green. And no, we can't forget zombies, of course.
That does not go into like supernatural. I was like resource depletion, such as zombies.
All three of us, you, Lyle, didn't write down zombies.
What's called supernatural?
Actually, I was gonna have you guys have a little discussion on zombocalypse because
it's
gonna be our sidebar. So people who watch Time for War know we had a technology sidebar. So our sidebar for
zombar,
our zombar.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That really cracked him up, didn't it?
It really did. When a joke falls in the forest and no one is around. I'm sorry.
I thought a really good...
Can I finish with the sidebar one?
All right. I thought it was implied by now.
No, I guess you guys were debating, or texting, having a text debate saying whether or not the zombies are the important part of a zombocalypse. So we're going to have a little sidebar.
Oh, if you put it that way, I just sound like an idiot. It's called a zombocalypse. And I was the one arguing that zombies aren't important. Jeez.
Well, we will. Well, we're going to discuss that as well.
Man, what kind of leg do you have to stand on? Obviously a rotted one, just like a zombie.
Yeah. And also, kind of what is the definition of apocalypse? And we're going to kind of take a bit of a broad definition here, because we have the classic, an apocalypse that just destroys just about everything to various degrees. But there's also things that you could classify as an apocalypse that they just alter the world radically. So in a sense, it is an apocalypse of the previous civilization. A good example might be Shadowrun.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of gets into what I was going to mention before I cut you off, so sorry. A good resource for this is the World of Darkness Mirrors book. They have a really good chapter in there about the end of the world, and they introduced, White Wolf wasn't the one who came up with this, but there was a futurist writer who came up with an idea called, I'm going to pronounce it wrong, an escalatory system, or an escalatory scale. And that comes from, I'm going to butcher it, Eschatalon, which kind of means, like...
You're going at these names with a cleaver.
I know. It's like E-S-C-H-A-T-O-L-O-N. Eschatalon. And it comes from...
I'm impressed you remembered how to spell it. That's
it. Well, because I looked at it a lot. Anyway, basically...
How do you say this?
It talks about...
Written it on the ceiling.
Right?
Actually, I wrote it on my hand.
Yeah, he's looking at the inside of his hand now.
Yeah. Well, there it is. And basically, it kind of means, like, the study of end times. And, like, in this World of Darkness Mirrors book, they give the different events a rating from 0 to 2. And 0 means, like, a localized event, such as a continent or, like, an area, where 2 represents basically, like, a 99% human population die-off.
Mm-hmm.
And the actual scale does go higher, but they said any higher than 2 and there is no human civilization, there are no humans left at all.
Mm-hmm.
So for game purposes, about 0 to 2 are the ranges you can go. And like an example of 0 would be 28 days later, you know, where it's kind of localized onto a continent. Well, I guess you don't actually really know, because all they do is talk about England, right?
Spoiler.
All right.
I was just about to get into our spoiler policy.
All right. Anyway.
Spoiler policy will be the Isle of Red Hands norm, whereas we will not try to ruin things for people.
We will
we'll
often
do it accidentally.
Yeah. Do it, yes. Yeah.
With the exception of 28 days later.
All right, yeah. Sorry.
All right, well, let's launch into the first phase, and that is the build-up before the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
A really good movie for this is The Miracle Mile, and that deals with the build-up to a nuclear holocaust or a nuclear apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real, it's one of those movies that's, I'm not sure if it's like real-time like 24 mm-hmm. is, but it's a very, very, very tight time frame, very close to the movie's length, which is about 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it happens, and you find out that there's going to be a nuclear attack in like an hour or something like that. And the guy is just running around trying to escape.
Mm-hmm.
But he just went on a first date with somebody. And they really hit it off.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you get like in your 30s or something like that, and he's like, you really connect with somebody, and it's kind of like that. And he's like, he's going to go get her.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, just the pacing and what the different strategies that people adopt is great, because there's also like these people in a diner and he tells them. That's a great jump off point. You've got all these strangers. One guy gets this information. One person is able to confirm it, or that's got to be part of the premise. Because who's going to believe, I just picked up a payphone and this guy was babbling.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, all right, they're going to ignore it.
Yeah.
But one person's able to confirm the information. So immediately you have a group of strangers that are now like a group.
Mm-hmm.
And they can work to a common goal, or they can split up. And it's a really touching movie, and it's a really exciting movie.
Hmm.
I think that's the part that I most, think about when you're doing like a before the apocalypse game. Is like, that's definitely one thing to consider, is how much time do you have before this giant event is going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And to bring it up again, that's the other really good thing that World of Darkness Mirrors chapter had. For every kind of category, they listed a time frame between like when the apocalypse was going to sort of noticed by people and to when it would actually happen.
In addition to that, it leads into what, or follows what you're saying, is that In a movie like The Miracle Mile, they can't prevent it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just understood. There's nothing they can do in that short time frame. None of them are high up in the government or anything. So none of them can prevent this nuclear attack. Or then you have other ones where part of the story could be you could prevent the nuclear attack, such as a movie like Meteor or Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
Deep Impact. Mm-hmm. They didn't prevent that, did they?
No, I didn't.
I guess it was possible, though.
It was possible, yeah.
It was possible, yeah.
Ooh, spoiler.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Go figure. There's an impact in Deep Impact.
All right.
It could have just been a very touching movie.
Took some of the tension. But what happens next, listeners? What happens next?
Dun, dun, dun.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Don't worry. You find that out like 90 minutes into the movie. It's a good 15 minutes.
So this is a spoiler as opposed to what I usually mistake as premise.
Yeah. Yeah, so, or you could prevent it, and that can be part of the story.
Mm-hmm. I think a good way to look at it is with kind of a similar pace to a thriller movie, mm-hmm. as we talked about in a couple episodes back, in that you know that this big event is coming, and you can kind of ratchet up the tension as you draw along closer to it. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking about a short time frame, like the missiles have been launched and they're on the way, or if it's something more like a contagion where you're still months or weeks away.
Hmm. I think this is also like a good time where you could play with scale.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, not scale in the normal sense, because pretty much the world is going to end. I mean, that's what, apocalypse means. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those cases where I think it would be just as interesting, possibly even more interesting, to play not the nobodies, but sort of the people just on the street, because that's...
You say that about every game.
Yeah, I do say that about every game, because, I don't know, I think street-level games are interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, in this one, I don't know.
I'm going to disagree. I think it just depends on what kind of story you want to run.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
And I think it might factor into whether or not they can prevent it is how much power they have.
Yeah, I think that's where I was going. Like,
because if it's a very local, as in your town apocalypse, then...
Well, it's not an apocalypse.
Yeah, right.
Not to quibble about it, but I mean, you can structure it any way you want. It might be just your local town, but, you might be the one doctor who can figure out how to cure the disease.
That's good.
That's possible.
That's a fair point. Like in the crazies, you can see how a very local event,
mm-hmm.
then you could actually have prevented it there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's most of the movie, whether or not they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they fail, then it's going to have, dramatic repercussions. Yeah.
That almost, like you said, Chris, it almost becomes like a thriller because you're working to prevent this thing that could possibly turn into an apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, that's a very real, high-stakes game, mm-hmm. right?
Like, it's about as high as the stakes game,
yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's world-ending. But I was thinking, if the apocalypse event is preventable,
mm-hmm.
then, yeah, it would be interesting to play the people who have the ability to prevent it.
Mm-hmm.
If the apocalypse is not preventable, then, in my opinion, it's not really interesting, right?
I'm going to disagree with you again. Because
if it's not preventable,
no, I'm saying it could be either.
Right.
That's my thing. And I'm going to say even if it's not preventable, it still can be good to play local people,
mm-hmm.
or let's say peons, or higher up. Because then the higher up, it can become a very organizational or trying to save as many people as you can on a large scale. And the local, the peons, could be trying to save as many people as they can, or themselves, yeah. on a small scale.
It's
a matter of scale, and what your players would like best is what game you should run.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I was thinking more like the scientist's world. It's like, okay, well, you can't prevent the outbreak.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're playing scientist, well, that might be a little boring. But if you're playing someone...
If you've already determined that it's not preventable, or you can't stop it. I mean, you shouldn't, give your players false hope. It should be kind of clear. In the Miracle Mile, it's pretty clear what kind of movie you're getting into. You're not going to stop it. That's not the point of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The point of the movie, are they going to get away?
That's actually one of the things that I thought about when I first considered what I would do with playing this or setting up this kind of game. I thought I would probably tell the players straight at the beginning that this is what the premise of the game is. The apocalypse is coming and you're not going to be able to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably say, you know, make it within that, make it however you want. You can make about saving yourselves or saving other people, or maybe play with your character thinks there is a way to stop it and fight for it. But I just want you to know that's going to end with the end. What do you guys think about that? Would you do something similar? Would you make it unclear whether it could be stopped or not?
I think it depends on what kind of apocalypse event
we're dealing with.
But I just kind of the kind of person I am, I would tend to run kind of the one where it's not preventable.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, the interesting part of apocalypse movies or stories is seeing how the people react, mm-hmm. and whether they, I'm drawing a blank here, but whether they kind of try and stick together and, you know, prove that they are good people when there's kind of no hope, or whether they just, you know, kind of say, ah, screw it, the world's going to end, I'm going to do whatever I want, and society breaks down.
But would you tell the players that beforehand or not?
Would you tell them it's you're playing an apocalypse game?
I don't know.
My answer is yes.
Yeah.
I would make it kind of clear.
I think it'd be really fun because
they could fail, for example, in a game that where
very
it
true.
Is preventable.
Yeah.
It's not guaranteed.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But yeah, it should be pretty clear, like what role they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're dealing with a large scale apocalypse, like where it just starts on a large scale,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that giant asteroid, and you're the local sheriff in the town, then obviously you're not going to have any say in how to prevent it.
Right, right.
But let's say you unearth a tomb somewhere, and that's going to lead to some sort of supernatural apocalypse. Sure, it could be a game set in that tomb, and you're like just an archaeologist and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you could do something, you know, put the mummy back in his coffin.
No, go back
sarcophagus.
We stopped the apocalypse.
Jumping up and down on the lid.
Should have made that mummy a little bit stronger.
Someone give me a hammer and nail. And safe. You know?
I reckon you could have so much fun with that if you get up to the point where the world is going to end and you run that final scene with your players. Like, I might make it like a round circle kind of storytelling thing, just what happens around the world. I just imagine if you did this kind of pre-apocalypse game leading up to the apocalypse, you could have so much fun with the ending.
I think one thing I would definitely make clear is the stakes. Like,
the world's gonna end.
Well, what I mean is like, like I do like surprises, and you could run kind of like a game where it starts off really mundane, like opening that tomb or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I see it as being a little bit unfair if kind of a small event like that is going to lead to an apocalypse, right? Like, especially if the GM doesn't put down clues that that will happen, right? Like, especially if you're running like a fantasy game or like another kind of supernatural game where, hey, opening up this mummy's tomb. No, that's just kind of what we do every day. That's what we do every session. And this one mummy's tomb is now going to cause the apocalypse.
I agree completely. Yeah. You shouldn't spring the apocalypse on people.
Yeah. And I think that could be
but
sort of other things, you know?
And I think that's one of the most interesting things. And they do it in a lot of media about this is where it just slowly builds. You know, it starts, pandemic one, it starts with one guy with a cough, you know, before you know it, they're showing maps of red circles expanding all over the country.
Yeah, you wouldn't exactly start a game with just people coughing around you. You're on a subway. Yeah.
Well, why not? I mean,
they're going to fight the germ. I think if they were like, well, I work for the CDC.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Wait. So they said, make a character who works for the CDC. I'm on the subway. This guy over here is coughing.
I wonder what's going to happen.
I think that's kind of fair and could be possibly exciting. But mm-hmm. if it was just like, again, local guy and somebody just like an accountant, somebody's coughing next to
I don't know. Say like your adventurers, like Wayne said, that are going around exploring tombs or something. And
the mummies are coughing.
Call the CDC.
Yeah, but you could do that. Like there's, you see it all the time. They unearth the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't opened the sarcophagus yet. And then there's like that writing on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who can read this? I can. I mean, it'd be a little unfair. None of you can read it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or there is no writing on the wall.
And it'd be exactly like players. Okay, well, let's just open it anyway.
Yeah.
Right on.
Now, actually, it leads into a larger question about is the apocalypse, we're talking before the apocalypse, does the game end at the apocalypse? Like, of course, some games will continue because you're playing during the apocalypse. And then, of course, after it, but then it could actually just, everything ends.
As I said, I think you could have so much fun with narrating the ending together with your players that I would do that. But for a continuous campaign, make it Act 1, 2, and 3, pre-apocalypse.
I don't know. I think for me it would really depend, again, on what type of the apocalypse it was. Like, that would really depend on player action or character action during the game. Like, if people know that this is going to be kind of like a localized event and they get out of the area, well then, it would continue kind of into the apocalypse. But if it's kind of one of those, like, world-ending things, like no, unless you got down into that bunker that's, like, you know, miles below the Earth, you're not going to survive, then the game is going to be over. Or at least for those characters, it's going to be over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could then, like, switch to, okay.
And here's the people who did make it.
Well, yeah, or even more like...
start at level one.
I don't know if I would do a level game, but, hey, okay, those people that... If you helped save people, those people that you helped save, who wants to play as those people now?
Another thing you could do and play with before the apocalypse is kind of a little bit biblical, but it's also kind of Lovecraftian. You know, the visions and the dreams that people will start to get. Maybe you see, like... there's more crazy people on the streets, you know, bring out your dad, ringing the bells, you know, the sandwich boards, you know, the end of the world is nigh, and things like phenomena like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a clue. You could be one of those Cassandras, you know, you're getting those visions, and part of it is just trying to convince people to believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one, this is not the dreams and signs, but, Lucifer's Hammer is a novel, I think, by Larry Niven, and it's about an approaching asteroid meteorite. And, of course, the guy, you know, discovers it. And you see that a lot in the, you know, those disaster movies. Mm-hmm. You know,
some kid finds it, yeah.
Yeah, some kid or some know-nothing scientist or something.
Hobo.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie.
I'm thinking the Blob. It's kind of slightly Apocalypse.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking the asteroid and the hobo with telescopes just doesn't make much sense.
No, it doesn't.
She dead up there.
Fuming through a wine bottle.
At least for Samurai is good is because it shows like different stages in before it happens. Mm-hmm. And even society starts to break down because they know what's coming.
Yeah.
And they can't prevent it. Or they're hoping that something will happen. And then you can see like the societal collapse that generally we see after the apocalypse or during the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
That will start to happen before the apocalypse.
Mm.
People just give up right away and kind of trying to prepare, and you make your deals and you get your little alliances and try to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. It can be pretty exciting.
I'm wondering how you would, or if you would have to represent that in a game, because, well, what I'm thinking is, I don't know, my experience, people who play PCs, they tend to be quote unquote like good. So they're going to kind of be, I guess, the good guys. So, as society kind of breaks down around them, I guess it's fine that people are kind of quote-unquote good. But again, just the kind of game I would run, like, I would make it kind of difficult for them to be good, give them a lot of, like, gray moral choices, and also ask, like, hard choices about society's breaking down and kind of who are you going to save and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, and this is jumping a little bit. But yeah, it's something that I did want to talk about. And you see it in the novel World War Z, a zombie novel. And you see it a little bit in the movie Blindness, is towards the end, you know? And then people have to then come to grips with what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And the tough choices that they did make. They're good people. And good people can have to make terrible choices. And just how that affected them. And yeah, it was really powerful when they refer to it. In World War Z, when they allude to it, in Blindness, you know, these are the things I did under these circumstances, and now I'm going to try to be normal again. Yeah, I think that could be really, you could have somebody then trying to seek redemption later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they did these terrible things in the build-up, and then during, they become just even more heroic because they're trying to redeem themselves because maybe they didn't go back to their house to get their wife and kid.
Mm-hmm.
So now they'll always be kind of like that paladin protecting the weak, and they have that motivation because, and maybe they couldn't go back. Maybe it would have been death to go back to that house to get them because they were in the city and the city was just overrun with zombies, or the city was contaminated, or it's just crowded, or you just couldn't move. And the person just gives up and goes with the local band that they're with because they can go to the mountains and hide out until the catastrophe happens. Mm-hmm. And then that guilt will just, yeah, it could be a very compelling motivation.
You know, with that, that game that we're playing now, Apocalypse World, there's, during character generation, or rather group generation, I suppose, you ask questions to each other like, why did you kill that man? Or, tell me something horrible that you did. That's a good way that you could play with this in, maybe in the during or post part of the apocalypse, just ask, what did you do to survive? Like, how did you make it through? Like that.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
With Apocalypse World being set generations after, it's a little bit different, but I like the way you've taken that idea and applied it to, you know, to something that's more immediate. Okay. Because, why are you still alive?
Yeah.
It's not because you're a nice guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I was thinking again, like, when you brought that up, I thought, yeah, that's a good idea, Chris. I was also thinking of, like...
I wish it was mine.
I was thinking that. And I was also thinking of, like, the White Wolf preludes. How sometimes the White Wolf suggests that you should run, like, one-on-one scenes with the players that kind of play out their transformation into whatever kind of supernatural race they're playing. But you could do that in, like, an apocalypse game, too, if you start the game kind of during the apocalypse or towards the end of the beginning, I guess, for lack of a better term, then, you could sort of play out sort of one-on-one scenes or even, I guess, like as a group. Okay, yeah, what did you do to survive? Great. Let's play a little bit of that to kind of build up what kind of character you are. And then, you'll have that motivation going into, the middle of the apocalypse. Or you could even do it like...
Flashbacks?
Yeah, flashbacks. Exactly what I was going to say. You kind of start in media res. Okay, you are all survivors. You're all this group. You've banded together for whatever reason. And every once in a while, we're going to flashback. You don't even really have to build your character. Now, we'll figure that out, like, through sort of flashbacks. And I think that could be kind of interesting.
I think really play with the triggers in those flashbacks. You know, like you see in a movie or you're reading a book and somebody's got sees the doll, and that makes them think of their daughter that they didn't go back for.
Mm.
And then they just find out, oh, I had a daughter. I didn't go back for her.
Yeah, oh.
Yeah. Or maybe they're an ex-con or a criminal, and they were in jail for something horrible. And now they see this as a second chance. So they see something like a dead police officer, and bam, oh, really? I shot two cops. Okay.
Well,
let's just keep that one a secret.
You could use the interlude rules out of Savage Worlds for that as well, because it has the different kinds of stories that you can tell from it, and you could base that on whether it was, during the build-up to the apocalypse, your life before that or during.
So. Yeah, like normally I don't like the interlude rules. I think, as I said before.
Many times.
But I think this is the one case where I do like them, especially if you're kind of, quote-unquote, like, building your character as you go. Mm-hmm. Because it would be kind of random, just, okay, boom, no, tell us a story about X. And that now kind of creates your character, rather than... Because, like, running the Apocalypse World game, it was kind of difficult to come up with those questions, to come up with those loaded questions. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, like, the player's input do give you other ideas, but sometimes it would be nice to just kind of have a random chart, because sometimes... You know, random choices can lead to something that, well, you weren't expecting because it's random, but you're like, oh no, that does actually fit together in a way I hadn't expected, and that makes it really interesting. Hmm. I mean, sometimes it leads to rubbish, but, you know.
Yeah, I guess. Or you could just have people roleplay it. I don't know.
Well, I didn't.
Isn't that roleplaying, though? Group storytelling, you're building up who these people are. And
sorry, I didn't mean.
The actual interlude rules, no. I think it's too mechanical.
Okay.
From Savage Worlds. I would prefer something that's even leading questions, I would prefer over that.
Hmm.
But just people, you know, when they're sitting around the campfire and it's, you know, they finally found enough cans of beans to survive the day.
Hmm.
And yeah, then they might tell their stories. That could be quite a nice role-playing experience. Mm-hmm. And you could really, maybe even play with that. I think that's one of the times you could, like, dim the lights and have the candles because you're not going to be rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of simulating you're all sitting around, exhausted. Do that. Yeah.
That'd be good. Something to do, like, right after the pizza arrives.
No,
we're not, but...
Did you say before the pizza arrives?
Yeah, when everyone's hungry, yeah.
Who's that coming?
Nobody wants to roll because they're too hungry. Yeah. Some angry conversation.
Getting into the LARP territory.
Yeah. All right. Well, of course, before leads into during.
Just go to the start and then to the middle.
Yeah. That's just the way we roll. Yeah, conventional like that.
In order.
Yeah, it was called MC Chronological. My rap days. So anyway, so during the apocalypse. And yeah, like you said, sometimes that can be too sudden. Like reading Lucifer's Hammer, it just hits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there are tidal waves. This is at the beginning, people.
still premise.
I'm still in the premise phase. And there's one scene, like a young kid, and he's like a surfer, and he's just like sitting out in the water, and he's just gonna have one last surf ride, whatever.
One last ride, yeah. Gonna catch one last wave!
Yeah. And just basically rides it into a building.
Mm. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I like how your brain shut down when you hit a sport.
Yeah, some, like, other ones you could actually play during, like, if it's like a pandemic, or like a zombie apocalypse, or it's one of those like slow ones, or even if it's like small asteroid impacts, right?
Yes, but then, I mean, of course, then it has a gray area of when does the during the zombie apocalypse and the post zombie apocalypse, you know, is kind of the same.
Oh,
legs in.
Sorry.
I think the pandemic is a bit clearer division.
Hmm.
Because yeah, it just suddenly you could kind of prevent it, and then now it's just happening.
Mm.
And then the post-apocalypse, which we'll talk about in part two of a pandemic, is a depopulated world.
Right.
Whereas in the zombie apocalypse, you're probably never really going to get rid of all the zombies.
Well, it kind of depends on what, like, it's, in my mind, the pre-apocalypse, I don't know, can you say that, is where it's still stoppable.
So it's like Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, exactly. Where you still have
and during is
to maybe,
Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, exactly.
And after is
Day of the Dead.
You know you wanted to say it. It's like pulling teeth.
I wasn't going to let him do it.
But I would say Dawn of the Dead actually bridges during.
I agree.
Because you see in the beginning...
how it starts.
Yeah. I think that's just one of the most complete apocalyptic movies I've seen is Dawn of the Dead, because you can actually just watch that.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the different stages.
Yeah.
Like, it's happening. It kind of starts in medias res. So you don't get a lot of the pre.
Right.
But you get that we're still kind of trying to do something and just, no.
Yeah.
You know, it just happens. And then what do you do?
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to bring this up at the beginning. I forgot to. The kind of the definition I got of, like, apocalypse is just like that R.E.M. song, the end of the world as you know it.
And I feel fine.
You didn't have to go that far.
Isn't it as we know it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
All right, fine. So the end of the world as we know it.
Yeah.
So that's where I kind of saw the difference between pre-apocalypse and during the apocalypse. If you can still kind of have a normal life, you're kind of at the beginning, right? So, for example, like a zompocalypse. If there are zombies, but the zombies are somewhere else, but things are still happening, if you can still kind of go to work, and if it's just one little thing like, okay, this is happening somewhere else, but it hasn't really affected me directly.
Mm-hmm.
There's stories of it. Once kind of your daily life changes, once you can kind of no longer live your life as you normally did, then I think you've kind of gone into during the apocalypse.
I suppose, but if you put it small scale, then it's not an apocalypse. I mean, you know, you could say the revolution of the robots and AI and stuff, where during the apocalypse is the war you're fighting. But, you know, if it's only a theater war in one country, other countries are fine. It's not really an apocalypse.
Or even if it's like, I guess maybe the zompocalypse is a bad example, but like...
What about monsters?
I like monsters.
The movie Monsters.
Oh, I haven't seen the movie Monsters.
Okay. but you like know it. That Chris likes monsters in general. That was good to know. The movie Monsters, people who haven't seen it, the premise is, there are monsters in Mexico and a little bit of the United States, maybe Texas or, and whether or not they can contain it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that's kind of maybe even like a during the apocalypse, a pretty clear during the apocalypse movie. And that it's certainly an apocalypse for Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's already kind of happened, but it's now happening, you know?
Yeah, they're like giant, like, no spoiler, there are giant containment walls where a large chunk of Mexico and some of of, you know, the southern U.S. is like a quarantine zone.
Yeah.
But life outside those areas still kind of goes on as normal.
Huh. Yeah. So whatever happened before, I mean, I would say the pre-apocalypse is like building those walls and, you know,
finding out that there are monsters.
Right. So, yeah. And then containing them.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is during, and then it's a post-apocalypse would be, you know, at that.
After the monsters win.
Yeah.
Yeah. After they win, after they break out.
Yeah.
Or I was thinking, like, you read some stories where, like an apocalypse has happened, but you can still kind of deal with it a little bit. Not so much deal with it as in prevent it. But, like, I guess, like, a very, maybe a bad example, but, like, towards the end of some zombie movies, some zompocalypse movies, it's like, the zombies are still out there, but so long as you walk around with a shotgun, things are still kind of normal.
Well, I don't want to split hairs, but
yeah.
I think zombie is the one that is maybe the most difficult to,
okay,
to break the divide between during and after. Yeah. Because you could do is like, yeah, we got rid of them all.
Yeah. Or we've caught them all.
Now we rebuild civilization. Yeah.
Yeah.
A good example of a during is actually the ones where, well, what Chris said before, the environmental, apocalypse.
Yeah.
Like the resource depletion. A good book, that deals with that is, it's called Nature's End by Whitley Schreiber. I think he wrote The Howling, the werewolf book, and a guy named James Kunekat. They actually teamed up to write a book called War Day. We'll be talking about that in part two because it's actually very clearly post-apocalyptic. Mm-hmm. But Nature's End is like the Earth is just now, you know, breaking down. You know, they've depleted all these resources. I think it's caused by overpopulation. And how do you deal with that? Mm. It's also a fascinating book because it's slightly in the future. So we also look at what rich people do to stay young.
Mm.
And that's actually one of the difficulties that the protagonists have to deal with is they're wealthy and they're on the run, so they can no longer keep up with their youth regimen.
Hmm.
And then they're also looking at ways, it's not really preventing the apocalypse, but just kind of dealing with it.
Coping with it.
And it's one idea is like a mass suicide and burning. So it's what it becomes is like a very grim place to live.
Well, I don't think many apocalypses are all that cheery, to say. Sorry.
Sparkle apocalypse.
That's not what I meant.
I didn't mean your point at all. Sorry. But no, I think that touches on the thing that's most interesting about the during phase is just how do you survive? It could be such a hard fraught campaign where you just throw, you know, wall after wall after wall at your players and they have to climb over each one or not. I mean, it's the apocalypse. Let them die.
Yeah.
To me, that's kind of that's kind of the distinction of post-apocalypse for me. Like, how do you survive? Because I guess, like, kind of...
Is that, like, all of them?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But, I mean, that seems to be the main focus of of this part of apocalypses.
I guess I seem to...
How is survival distinct to post-apocalypse?
Well, okay. I always think of post-apocalypse
as... Yeah. I suppose a during.
I just think of resources as very scarce during post.
Okay.
I don't know. The thing I think of is like during, like, you're fleeing the city, right? But there are still canned goods available and you still can kind of feed yourself. Or once you get past a certain point, like, nah, everything's gone.
We've talked about rifts before in previous episodes and how maybe the system isn't great, but the setting's pretty good. And a few years ago, they actually decided to do something which you would think they would have done well before is, hey, let's actually play this apocalypse that hit the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So they released Chaos Earth. And it looks kind of interesting. You know, it's like, these rifts start to open. What are you going to do?
I think it would be a really fun setting to play in as well, as far as a during the apocalypse game goes, just because it's so varied. There's you have monsters, you have magic, you have natural disasters. I think there was also a nuclear war during the rifts thing. So yeah, it's pretty much it's rifts. It's everything thrown into one vat and shaken about.
And definitely during the apocalypse, I think of the three stages, it is very. We say like. Pre has got like a thrilling pace or a thriller pace. And then during, I think a lot of times it would be like the action movie.
I thought that at first because it seems like it would be very action-y because you'd constantly be trying to escape from something or fight against something.
Yeah.
But I don't know, action movies seem to me to be rather upbeat. Whereas I don't see a dream. I mean, it's an apocalypse. Everyone around is dying. there's so little hope and so little cheeriness. I mean, the very fact that you survived today is a huge accomplishment. Where an action movie, I see it more as people winning fights. It's all about the fight. Whereas this one, it's more survival.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of, again, I guess it's a little bit hair split, but the end of, like, the action-based apocalypse movie could be, you got out of the city. Or True. You found that working plane to go somewhere. Or...
True, but in an action movie, I don't feel the tension, like, is the character going to survive? Oh my gosh, I don't know, but in the end, he does get to the chopper, usually. Maybe it's not worth quibbling
over. No, I know what you're saying. I guess you kind of, you never really don't expect the protagonist to win in an action movie. Like it's, well, in that case, you could play it up as like, but he does usually have to give something up, or like kind of like at what cost. Mm-hmm. So you could play that up. Like, it's never really in question that you're going to get out. It's more like possibly what horrible things did you have to do to survive,
or great point,
who did you have to leave behind, what did you have to give up to get there.
Yeah. And that said, you know, if you're, if you have a group and all they want to do is roll some dice and blow some stuff up, you know, an apocalyptic setting could provide that in spades, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's certain ones it wouldn't be as appropriate, like a pandemic or.
I'm gonna shoot that virus!
Yeah.
Yeah! Take that asteroid!
Take me to the lab and shrink me down!
No, but no, I was going to say, like, the asteroid one is like, okay, we're going to try to prevent it. And it's like, you know, during, I guess. Well, I guess not. That's all pre. All right, forget that example. All right, but like the supernatural one, like the Mirrors book has a neat example. It's like New Year's Eve, and all of a sudden the vampires decide they're going to take over the world. Mm-hmm. And they're just starting to zip through the crowd, these blurs, and they're not showing up on camera. And you're just like, damn. Like, preventing that would have been, you find out they exist.
Yeah.
And what they're planning to do come New Year's Eve. And then during is then you're gonna fight them or you're gonna flee them.
Yeah.
Because that's the apocalypse. When, if they take over, then that's the post-apocalypse. What do you do to survive? And then you're playing, like Daybreakers or something like that.
Vampocalypse.
Hmm? Stakeland.
Or Stakeland, yeah. Another one. Stakeland's like a zompocalypse movie, except it's got savage vampires. Hmm. It's pretty good, though.
I like that.
Yeah, it's probably about 15 minutes too long. Just aggregate, not necessarily. There's a particular point. Just driving.
Trying to think. Okay.
So I guess that's what I mean about action. It would be like a dark action. It could be a dark action game.
Hmm.
Yeah. And, I mean, there could be other things, like the alien invasion. And it's now happening.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's say you're playing superheroes fighting the alien invasion. Actually, There is a Savage World book that is kind of has that interesting premise. Necessary Evil?
Yes, that was it.
Thank you.
Where all these superheroes get killed during the apocalypse of the alien invasion. Premise. and now you play the villains. Mm-hmm. And the villains are the protagonists of the post-apocalyptic game. Mm. Yeah, so... So yeah, Chris, there you go.
Yeah.
Suck it.
You can totally play an action movie.
Or like Terminator.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Your idea is terminated.
But I think you did raise a really good point in that it's tone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that we are definitely going to talk a lot about in part two.
Yes.
Is striking the right tone, because you want it to be a rewarding role-playing experience.
Mm-hmm.
But you also just don't want it to be an unrelenting downer that people don't want to show up
very
for a week
after. I'm my fourth character this month. Yeah,
so how guess to make, which game I'm running.
So how to make the apocalypse fun? Well, that'll
be... Fun-pocalypse.
Fun-pocalypse, yeah. That'll be in part two. And we'll also be talking, doing the Zombar, or sidebar, where we talk about a Zompocalypse, and is it really about the zombies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that kind of softened it. It makes it more of a debate.
Yeah.
All
right. Sounds good.
Knockdown, drag out, fight. Ah.
And a big event now. We're actually going to go to a movie.
Yes.
The three of us for the first time to actually go to the theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty sad. It's the first time.
Yeah. Well, it also sounds kind of sad. Three guys are getting excited about going to the movies together.
Yeah.
And we'll be seeing Battleship.
Yes.
And that's part of our research for another upcoming episode.
Yep. Battleships?
Dude, no surprise.
Ruin it for everyone.
The movie's called freaking Battleship, dude.
But there's also other things that we're going to talk about in that episode.
Yeah, water. Thank you for joining us again on Idle Red Hands. Check us out online, www.idleredhands.com, idleredhands.com. Give us a, sir, you can listen to the episode right there on the website. You can listen to it through Stitcher, through DriveThruRPG, or download it through iTunes. Give us a post in our forum, send us an email, write some on Facebook, listen to Twitter, get a hold of us because we'd love to hear from you and, yeah, all that other good stuff. Thanks again and, see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Drive-through RPG. We average 9 new titles a day. That's over 60 a week. And we've got well over 15,000 RPG titles online right now. Drive-through RPG, the one true source for RPGs.
Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.